The next item on the agenda is item 5 and 6, Compton & Associates, 06-1000. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
I'd understood that Mr. Compton had some mechanicals. Is he here?
I believe he's here.
Okay. We can hear both these together, one at a time. I don't know how we...
Well, I guess I need a little direction from the commission. I actually briefed the commission in May on the appeal, and we got
right
as far as the attorney for Mr. Compton beginning her speech, and Carl raised the issue of whether what the jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board was, and the commission eventually voted to defer it for 2 months while Carl researched that issue. I believe that's been resolved. Carl may want to address
I think it would be appropriate just for a brief comment as far as your determination, counsel.
Yes, I looked into it, and there's a former Attorney General's opinion that's right on point by then Attorney General Lyles, and it's a matter of reading both 28.2-1205 together with the wetland statutes, and there is jurisdiction for the wetlands boards to, when they're considering the impacts on wetlands by structures that are in the wetlands, to consider the impact of the structures beyond the wetlands area also. And my recommendation would be that you do the same thing that you had planned on doing the last meeting, and perhaps because it's been so long, you may want to just start from scratch. But that's up to you.
Having said that, I don't know whether you want me to briefly go over the appeal.
I want you to briefly go over the Wetlands Board aspect. I remember the case.
Okay.
Is there any, let's just make sure, was everyone here at the May meeting? Okay,
yes.
So we can proceed.
We're going to cover both of these at the same time?
We're going to cover both of these. Basically, I think one is going to flow into the other.
Okay.
I think you'll need separate action.
They will. They'll need separate action as far as whether the Wetlands Board, because it's an appeal of the Wetlands Board, first action will be whether we believe we uphold, remand, or...
There are some aspects of the project that were not really addressed by the Wetlands Board that I'll need to address further in the subaqueous hearing.
Okay. Proceed with the Wetlands Board aspect of it first.
Okay. This is an appeal by the applicant, Mr. Compton, of a March 20th, 2008 City of Suffolk Wetland Board decision, and involves an existing marina and restaurant facility on Bennett's Creek. Basically, the applicant was requesting after the fact authorization to retain multiple structures at the facility, including floating piers, some fixed pier and deck structures, as well as an after the fact authorization for the enclosed portion, a portion of the restaurant that had been enclosed without a commission permit. And all these are located at Ferry Road, which is along Bennett's Creek, which is a tributary of the Nansemond River. His application also included a request to install some additional floating piers that were not yet installed when the violation was discovered. Basically, all the floating pier structures were denied by the Wetlands Board. The ruling of the Wetlands Board was to basically put the marina back into the condition it was before Hurricane Isabel. All this work resulted after damage from the hurricane. The fixed pier that was originally permitted is still in place. It's rather old and weathered, and basically the floating pier structures were put in a parallel to that and beyond that. The Wetlands Board did not address the enclosed restaurant portion. We believe that was done by the previous owner, for Mr. Compton, and there's also a fixed pier along the shoreline. This is the site location. This is the Route 17 bridge over Bennett Creek. Bennett Creek flows out into the Nansemond. Marina is located here at the end of Ferry Road. There's a fixed pier right here that was also not addressed by the Wetlands Board, which we also believe predated Mr. Compton's ownership, but was not ever authorized by the Commission or the Wetlands Board. The Wetlands Board saw this slide. This is from the land records of City of Suffolk. This is the marina facility. The commercial part of the marina basically begins here and goes to here. This is Mr. Compton's house, and there is a pier here related to that structure, which we deem part of the private pier that goes with that structure. This is what the marina looked like before the hurricane. This is what the Wetlands Board saw, and this is what it looked like after the hurricane and the additional structures were added. So what you have is you have fixed piers here that were removed, floating piers installed, a parallel floating pier here with finger piers and slips, a large floating platform here, a large fixed deck structure here that was being used as part of the restaurant facility for outdoor food service and entertainment. There's a little small stage area. This is the portion of the restaurant that was enclosed that the Wetlands Board didn't address, and this is that fixed pier I was speaking of. Again, this is the drawing. There was some confusion in the application when it was received by the Army Corps, well, by everybody, because this is the drawing that was initially submitted for the after-the-fact authorization of the structures that were already installed. This is actually the drawing from the previous owner for some previous permit work at the restaurant, and basically shows you the fixed pier that was permitted, and at the time he was asking for a bulkhead here, which was installed, and then a pier was also installed here, which was not authorized by the previous owner. And there was really no drawing to show exactly what was here before, but we have photographs of what it looked like before the hurricane. This is the drawing Mr. Compton provided. It is hand-drawn. It is purported to be to scale, but it is a hand. And I oriented that sort of the same way as the previous one, just so you get an idea of how it lays. But I flipped it around so it's a little easier to read here. It's color-coded, and basically the dark area you see here is the existing structures that Mr. Compton believed were there prior to installing it into floating dock. So you see there was some fixed structure in this area, but this decking is all new, and all the floating structure and these floating piers. These were removed. Some of these were removed, obviously, because of this, and a few of these. And these finger piers on this side were removed and replaced with floating piers. At the May meeting, when you deferred action, Mr. Compton had already removed a large portion of this part of the pier, and basically the commission, as part of its deferral, indicated that they would allow him to temporarily more boats leave the floating pier in and more boats here until final disposition of the case today. That is still the case. This is all still in. These structures are still there with some boats at them as of yesterday. The other issue that was raised in May was that some of these sections had been moved into this basin, which does partially ebb out at low tide because it's silted in over the years, and he was directed to remove all of those. It appeared to me yesterday that there were no structures in this area. I didn't see them on the upland, but I seemed to have been removed. The only structure I saw that might have been one of those was it looked like there was one attached maybe to this dock in addition to this one, just strapped off. Basically, the Wetlands Board, it was protested by a number of residents that live nearby up the hill here from Prairie Road. Their concerns were numerous, some of which are outside the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction related to noise and traffic, but some of the speakers did address that problems with additional boat wakes, secondary impacts to wetlands from additional trash, from increased use of the facility for uses that had not previously been permitted. After considerable discussion about the jurisdiction and about the impacts, the board did vote unanimously to order Mr. Compton to remove all the floating pier structures that were installed after Isabel and allow him to basically reconfigure the fixed pier back to the way it had been previously permitted. They did not address this restaurant, and I'm not really going to talk about that a whole lot until the subaqueous, or this fixed pier. They really addressed only the structures that Mr. Compton admitted he had put in after Hurricane Isabel. So to adhere to the Wetland Board ruling, he would have to remove the rest of the floating pier, including these sections, and per the wetlands ruling, I guess he could put these finger piers back in the configuration that they had been previously permitted. We did receive a letter last week from Mr. Compton's attorney, who was here in May, indicating that she no longer represented him and would not be representing him at the hearing today or with any other VMRC matters. I know Mr. Compton's here. I don't know whether he has any other counsel. I think he can address that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for members of the commission for Mr. Stagg? First, Mr. Fox, then Mr. Schick. Mr. Fox.
Let me make sure I understand this. He does, after Isabel, he has not obtained any permits. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Any permits for anything after Isabel?
That is correct. And he does, he was advised numerous times and again after the May meeting and his attorney at the time to seek obtaining a health department permit for the marina, which he does not, or he did not, currently have at that time. The marina had a permit, a marina permit in the past, but he did not have one. I've double-checked with Richmond, not within the last few days, but he was advised to seek that, and that was another problem with, you know, trying to approve anything other than what would have been authorized. But he still would need a marina permit to even put back into operation what he has. The restaurant has a health department permit, but the marina facility does not, and they're separate permits.
Another question.
Mr. Fox.
The blue area just to the left of the restaurant, I guess, which is the deck.
Yes, here?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That extends over the water?
Yes. Okay. Basically, everything you see here extends over the water except a portion of this pier may actually be intertidal now because it's silted in. I can't say for sure that a small portion right in here might be intertidal now. It was subaqueous. But clearly, the majority of this is wet at low tide, and certainly all of this in this location. He indicated at the Wetlands Board hearing that he believed that he could do this work under the governor's executive order after Hurricane Isabel, which did allow for the replacement of damaged structures, but they had to be in the same footprint or smaller. And
they had to be permitted.
Had to be
right, and he needed to file the two-page abbreviated permit, right, which he did not do. It. The only permit we've gotten is the after-the-fact JPA to retain what you see in this drawing or some portion thereof.
Mr. Schick.
Yeah, now, I understand that the Wetlands Board voted to deny the application, but on what environmental basis of wetlands? Because I don't see an aerial photograph in this, so I'm trying to get a full...
Well, let's go back to this one. This is a pretty extensive vegetated marsh here. Mm-hmm. There is some vegetated marsh here. And there was a lot of discussion about that, what the impacts were to wetlands. The city staff and VMRC staff both indicated that, you know, that most of the structure that they were hearing certainly was tidal, with the possible exception of a small area in here, over intertidal, non-vegetated. The objections of the protestants and the general thinking was that increased use here, and Mr. Compton will tell you that he didn't really increase the number of slips that were authorized before. These are larger, but that increased use of this deck area for people drinking and eating, trash, there was problems with trash ending up over here. Some of the people did think there would be more boat wake because of increased use of the whole facility, not just the marina slips, but transient people coming to the restaurant by boat. So increased boat wakes could affect erode these marshes, increased trash, runoff, debris from this restaurant. And clearly they had other objections, you know, noise and those things, which were outside the board's jurisdiction. So that was the rationale. And we did, you know, after Carl, I guess, researched the Attorney General's opinion. There is a previous Attorney General's opinion that...
They have to consider those.
Wetlands boards can consider projects like this that don't necessarily have a direct impact but might have indirect impact.
And for the record, quite honestly, I'm very familiar with this area. Matter of fact, I've visited during the course of the case. Although this is taken in the wintertime, it looks pretty barren. It doesn't look like it's very... It is a pretty productive and pretty healthy marsh environment.
This is all marsh on this side.
Absolutely, and it's just as healthy on this side,
right,
which unimpacted as it is across the marsh. So since it's brown and dark, it kind of doesn't give quite the accurate representation of how healthy it actually really is. Mr. Schick, follow up.
Now, the pier that is to the right by that marsh fringe there, that pier was done prior to him purchasing the property, but without a permit.
He believed that is correct, yes.
Now, is there a bulkhead behind that pier now?
I believe the bulkhead extends partly, and Mr. Compton maybe will address that. There's some small amount of riprap, or I wouldn't call it necessarily exactly what we call riprap, but some stone and bricks, I think, that were there previous to the bulkhead being.
Right. So the fringe marshland that's shown in this aerial is probably not there now, or has been substantially altered.
Well, I hate to go out of this presentation into the other one for record, but yeah. I have some better pictures with the sub-aqueous.
I didn't know if that had something to do with the weather.
We'll be addressing that more in the sub-aqueous hearing. I have some ground shots that will show that more.
We'll just do that then.
Further questions, Mr. Stagg? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have one question. It appears that if the Wetland Board's order were upheld, then what the applicant could do is simply replace what was there perhaps prior to Isabel with fixed pier structures. Now, they have obviously gone out and bought these floating structures. Could staff support compliance with that order with some sort of arrangement of floating piers that was essentially consistent with the original footprint that was with fixed piers, or would that require a different application or modification to this?
I'm not sure staff would necessarily oppose it, but I think to legal counsel as to whether that would require a whole new application to replace the fixed with the floating.
What you're doing when you're reviewing the Wetlands Board's decision is you're acting as the appellate authority, and you've got the standard that you have to find that the Wetlands Board failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the ordinance, or the substantial rights of, in this case, the appellant, have been prejudiced because the findings of the board are legally deficient in the various ways that we've talked about before. And if you find any of those things, then you have the authority to modify the decision. You can modify, remand, or reverse the decision. But I think you could modify it along the lines of what you're talking about if you find some sort of an error.
I think we're right here. All we're deciding now is whether the Wetlands Board erred or whether they didn't at this point. The other stuff is coming down the way, so we've got to be careful. They're good questions, but we've got to be careful not to blur the line as to where we are right now as far as our responsibilities. I have one question. Do you attend the Wetlands Board meeting?
Yes.
No doubt in your mind there's ample opportunity for those involved to get their story out, speak their piece.
Yes, the hearing was quite long. You have a transcript of it.
Right.
You can see how long it was.
Further questions? Thank you, Ben. Is Mr. Compton here, or represented, or both? Mr. Compton, would you like to speak? Good morning, sir. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except to God. Okay, before you start, I just want to make sure that we have a clear understanding. What we're deciding at the present time in this case is simply whether the Wetlands Board erred in their decision based under the Code of Virginia, and we're here based on your appeal of your belief that they did err. So that's all we're deciding right now. Okay? So proceed, please.
Well, I understand that the appeal process was to...
Can you state your name? Yeah, state your name, please.
Nathaniel Compton, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
The appeal process was to have this appeal heard by this court, whether it be remanded back or decided after conversation with Ben Stagg as to what that would be. It could be simultaneous. It could be remanded back to Suffolk for an additional hearing based upon the findings of the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, which was subsequent to any of the dealings we have before this. That's where we stand on this. I don't know what has happened since then in terms of their jurisdiction. It's not clear to me whether they had jurisdiction or not.
Mr. Josephson?
Yeah, based on my research, and I mentioned earlier, the Attorney General's opinion back then, Governor Belisle was the Attorney General, and he issued an official opinion which basically speaks to this issue. And the Wetlands Board does have jurisdiction to consider structures beyond the wetland area over what would ordinarily be state-owned submerged lands. If it has some impact on the wetlands also.
I see. Okay, that cleared that up. Thank you. Can I address this?
Yes, sir, but you're going to have to stand at the microphone as you do. Do you have a point?
Okay.
So you have on the record.
Already. Okay, I see. I got it. Okay, first of all, I think Ben had pointed out that this structure here, even though it was in question, whether it had a permit or not, was done previous to my ownership in this facility. And that is the area right there, which obviously has direct impact on wetlands and has had for 22 some odd years. This, as he mentioned, is wetland vegetation, and it is brown in color. It grows no further than that, but it's in healthy condition. So I will certainly second the fact that that is that way. What was installed in the area that I was concerned with was these piers here. That's actually a main pier. I'm sorry about shaking this. I can't get it still. Is this pier, if you'll see, there's quite a difference to this pier here. Then there's a smaller pier next to it that is following the parallel arrangement of the two piers. One is fixed and one is floating. The floating piers were put in, trying to be put in the same as parallel as to the footprint that was there previously. And that was the attempt that was made. These run from this area all the way out, and then you see the extension of the which is out here, which is also floating pier. It starts about there and goes beyond where the fixed pier was. This fixed pier did extend to here. That was also wiped out by the hurricane. It was equal to this and across in distance. It was torn apart and went to Mr. Harlow's property over here over that entire basin. So the areas that I guess we're looking at from the wetland standpoint, and I understand the comment that there could be some secondary impact. I just wanted to point out that in 1982 this was done. It seemed like there was an initial impact that was obviously looked at as okay to deal with. And wondering why or where the secondary impact also would be attained. Or the information obtained from Mr. Stagg had informed me that a secondary impact study would be required, and I contacted Bay Environmental, who said it was going to be impossible to get such a study done in the length of time that I was permitted here to go before the board, and that he also extended that DIMS had the ability to have the secondary impact study, which none has ever been done. There has not been a secondary impact study on these situation here or the addition to the restaurant that I know of. I don't know that any secondary study has ever been done by Suffolk. From what I can gather in research, there has never been one done. But the impact there, I guess, is a question for the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction. Am I following somewhat correctly? That the secondary impact is the jurisdiction that you're saying that has jurisdiction because of the secondary impact?
Mr. Josephson.
Because of the impact. Now, okay. Whether you characterize it as direct or secondary.
That is what the issue was relayed by the VMRC representative, that the secondary impact was the question they had concerns with, the secondary impact, which would require a study, a lengthy study, for this to, in fact, it would involve sediment, seeping from here, whether the altered current, things like that, quite lengthy. So that's where we are with the wetlands, and I don't know what has been at this point decided upon other than you all do have jurisdiction, or I guess Suffolk had jurisdiction over the wetlands.
That's correct.
Is that what I understand?
That is correct.
Okay. Then that leads to my next question and comment, which is the restaurant itself, which I saw the picture that Ben had shown you from the actual, looked like a plat. I had presented one to him, a more updated recent plat, which showed the entire restaurant and its current facility, as well as the slips that were to scale. I did the drawing modified to that scale, and he didn't accept it because it was too small to read. So I did another drawing, which you saw earlier, which was also to scale, and had the all the points were addressed that he needed on that scale, plus the color coding, so to show the board here what is actually going on. I know this is a confusing issue, and I'm trying to straighten out on my end what I can. The question I had was that I understood that Suffolk Wetlands shut down every request that there was for after-the-fact permits, which included a structure on the restaurant that was built as a glassed-in structure, which was reported to be a screened-in waiting area, which I have not seen the paperwork on, but that is what I understand has been the subject of a problem with the restaurant. And I believe the last meeting I was forced to close down this portion of the restaurant for a 30-day period, quite costly to our financial impact. And that was built 22 years ago. And in 22 years, that thing was not discovered as a glassed-in portion rather than a screened-in portion for eating purposes. I have no comment other than to understand that now it's been brought to light, and I don't know why at this time this is an important issue where it was not 22 years ago or in that time frame. So I was held responsible for the previous act of an owner, and as well as this here, which I did not install, which does affect wetlands. If anything does, obviously that would. Those are the two main issues that I have to address the board in question pertaining to wetlands. And I wondered why the jurisdiction would expand to secondary impact, whereas the primary impact is obviously these things done 22 years ago. They were authorized by the VMRC. By application, they were authorized by the Army Corps of Engineers. I have the paperwork by the DEQ. I was sent papers, letters describing the governor's clause from the DEQ, from Army Corps of Engineers. I received the okay from the Health Department, whereas not an expansion was due because I did not add additional slips. And I think this is where the problem lies in after the fact permitting, was whether I was required to get authorization to put in these piers. My understanding was no, that I was not, that I put in piers relative to the same number that were there, just improved the safety margin due to the Hurricane Isabel, which were all these piers were wiped out. They weren't removed, they were wiped out. They were gone. Senator Allen visited the site, and we were lent special monies to fix this. So I'm a little bit of a loss as to what happened here. I kind of got caught by surprise with the other organizations. You all did come to me after the other organizations did and said, we could tear the restaurant down, we could do this, we could do that, and I was shocked. However, we have tried to do the best we can to accommodate your request. We did shut the glass front room down for 30 days. It was at a cost of $50,000 to our business. We also removed, as Ben stated, these piers.
Just $50,000?
That's correct. In sales.
In a month?
That's correct. In sales, yes. Okay. I have the documents to support that. Okay. We did 129,000 last period this time, and we did 80,000 this period. That waterfront room is where people sit to eat, so it impacted $50,000 a sit.
Okay.
Okay. This area here has been removed, in fact, up to here. We put these in a corral as soon as the board spoke last time. We got rid of these. We also moved these piers over to this area. Now, here's where something I don't know what happened. My counsel that was here previously advised that we could put these piers that are here back. So I had them over here disassembled, and I did move them back into this area since there was 10 slips here before. They said they didn't think it would be a problem. I think they had was their purpose to come and speak with you about the what the gentleman said earlier about maybe some type of modification plan to where the same number of slips were put in. That was their advice. I did move them back and did not take them out of the water. The things that were taken out of the water, per the discussion we had with my attorneys at the time, were these docks. They have been taken upland, as suggested, out of the water individually, as well as my residential, because I heard I was going to be next on this.
Yeah. Mr. Compton, let me just try to bring this back to focus.
Absolutely.
I need you to tell me, as an appeal of the Wetlands Board decision,
yes,
why the Wetlands Board, why you believe they made a mistake. And that's the case before the commission right
case,
now.
Okay, and I didn't know this until Ben spoke, that I understood that everything was denied. Every fact, every permit was denied. That would include the addition to the restaurant that was done 22 years ago. This is why I was ordered to close down the restaurant, so that obviously was a fact of at that time. That's my address to the wetlands issue. Why was that closed down, and why were we penalized for that? Did the wetlands have jurisdiction over closing something down that was done 22 years ago?
I don't mean to be flippant, but sometimes we have cases that come before us that are that old that haven't been discovered for a number of years, and once they're discovered, we have to act.
Yeah.
Or the Wetlands Board has to act. So it's, although it sounds like it's been a long time, sometimes people get away with violations for a long period of time before they're discovered by regulatory authorities that then have to take action. So I think that's, okay. Ben, is that correct? Is that where we're? Okay.
I know that Mr. Stagg does ride over to the property a lot. He's expressed that he rides over almost every day. And I did request in writing all the files regarding this marina. I've never received them, so I can look over the actual things that were done illegally, I guess, at this point through the VMRC. The Army Corps has also given me one-page letters where they quoted the governor's clause in this that I was okay. The DEQ did the same. The Health Department has done the same. So this is the only organization at this point, the only one left, in fact, that has objection to any of this. So we're just addressing this at this point and the Wetlands Board, I guess, itself. I know there's further comment here to go on the next phase of this. And
we're sitting here at the present time to determine one thing at this time, whether Suffolk Wetlands Board did not obey the law of the Commonwealth of Virginia, whether the decision was not in keeping with the law, whether it was arbitrary or capricious, or whether there's some type of error. That's what we're here to decide now. And at the present time, I haven't heard any evidence yet that they made a mistake in their procedure. Okay. We cannot, as a commission, supplant our judgment for what their decision was. So what we have to do is determine whether they made an error. It's kind of like an appeals court at the present time.
Yeah.
We're not deciding whether they were their decision making process or their ultimate opinion was right or wrong. We are deciding from a technical perspective, according to the law of the Commonwealth, whether they made a mistake. And I haven't heard,
we have heard from the Assistant Commonwealth that they have not made a mistake. It's clear that the jurisdiction does fall on them with the secondary impact, so there's no need to rebut that. I just wanted to point out the fact that.
Okay.
And I know that one of these things has been said closer to the other.
I think the jurisdiction issue is clear. I think what Mr. Compton is trying to point out is that he takes issue with the factual determination by the Wetlands Board that there is some impact, and he mentioned the need for a secondary impact study, which apparently takes longer than the 60 days he had between the last meeting and this meeting. I think he's raising an issue of fact, and it's up to the commission to determine, based on the record you've got before you and his testimony, whether or not as a factual matter, the Wetlands Board erred or not. In other words, if they didn't have substantial evidence to support their decision, then it could be characterized as arbitrary and capricious.
That's correct. And I apologize for the wordiness of this. It's hard to dissimulate one thing from the other, and I think Ben mentioned the same. One flows into the other. So if I've overstepped it, I apologize. We'll address those later. Is it possible for you to have someone else speak on this?
Sure.
Okay. I think the Health Department is here. Would this be the time, or would we address this at the next time?
I don't know what the Health Department's got to say about the Wetlands Board hearing, but I would say that unless they have something germane to indicate what Mr. Josephson has just indicated pertaining to the Wetlands Board hearing, Mr. Josephson, I'll defer to you.
I guess my concern is that if you vote to decide to uphold the Wetlands Board's decision, in reviewing the subaqueous issues, you're going to be very limited in what your authority and discretion is because you have already decided a large part of the case based on hearing the appeal of the Wetlands Board. So with that in mind, you know, my recommendation would be to hear from whoever Mr. Compton wants to present at the Wetlands Board appeal.
Okay.
Proceeding.
All right.
At the Wetlands Board Appeals.
Right now.
All right.
That'd be fine.
Okay, and I'm confused. Is there a second part to this?
There may be or may not be, depending upon the decision that's made on this specific matter.
Okay, I heard
you got to get between point A to point B.
Things like
yeah.
This, so I'm a little confused.
Who do you have that you'd like to have speak?
The representatives from the Health Department. They can just speak on this.
Mr. Grab?
Do you need to open the record then? I mean,
Yeah, you would, actually. Yeah, because this is something different than what the record is below. So the commission has to vote whether or not to open the record.
Yeah, that's right. Matters before the commission, if there is a desire to open the record. I think council is advising us that it's probably in the best interest to go ahead and open it so that we can hear everything that we can possibly hear at this point. I want to make sure the gentleman gets a fair hearing under the established law, and I think it would be probably prudent and maybe even expeditious for us to open the record, just get it all out and hear it. Definitely, Mr. Holland, motion made by Mr. Holland, or second?
I would move that we open the record.
Second by Mr. Tankard, further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Record's now open. Health Department Representative, Mr. Grab.
One other point. I know that Mr. Compton was discussing the restaurant. Keep in mind that the Wetlands Board decision had nothing to do with the restaurant nor the pier that was along here. So if the Health Department wishes to testify regarding the restaurant enclosure, that's really not subject to the Wetlands Board
decision. Jurisdiction or decision.
That is something I would not want to clarify. It's my estimation, I thought we had denied everything.
No, it's not correct.
Okay,
I was at the meeting, and it was very clear. I even asked that question after the vote to make sure. But
to make sure that the jurisdiction, you were at that point making sure that they right. didn't overstep what you believed to be their jurisdiction.
They only addressed the floating pier structures. They did not address the enclosed restaurant portion or this fixed pier along the shore. That was not part of their motion. It was not part of their action.
Okay. All right, fine. That helps.
Go ahead.
Mr. Sherrick.
Who required him to close that portion of the restaurant?
Maybe y'all did.
We did at the meeting because it was a subaqueous matter that at that point we believed had been, number one, there was no permit. Number two, we were going to hear it later on, but we did not believe that the gentleman should benefit from a structure that had not been permitted while this case was pending.
I thought so. I just wanted to make sure.
Now, with that, representative from the Health Department, do you have, come forward, get us on the record. Run this one just like the court, because I can see where we're going. Good morning. How are you ladies today?
Fine.
Could you raise your right hands for me, please? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God? Can you state your name for me, please?
Kathleen McAllister Morgan.
And you, ma'am?
Lisa Wolford.
Good to have you here. And you represent?
Suffolk Health Department, Western Tidewater Health District.
Okay, the question I have for you before we proceed, do you have any evidence or testimony that you would like to give that's in reference to the floating piers and does not involve the restaurant?
The only thing that we have, and the Suffolk Health Department normally does the marina inspections, and that
right.
goes through the Richmond office with the marina mm-hmm. programs, which Preston Smith heads.
Yep.
For the last several years, my office has not done those inspections. There's been someone else brought in to do that for staffing issues and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the marina inspections have gone, we really haven't had any involvement in those in the last several years. That's all been handled through Preston's office.
Okay.
The only thing that we do have records as far as the marina is concerned that go way back to the previous owner or whatnot, where they did have, 46 slips, 10 moorings, and 11 dry spaces or whatnot. So we do have records that go back to the number of slips that he was allowed and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Schick.
So there is an occupancy permit to operate a marina on the site?
And that's kind of in the gray area. And conversation, emails that went back and forth between Mr. Stagg, Mr. Preston, and then later came to me that currently Mr. Smith is saying that there is not a certificate to operate the marina through his office. The restaurant is a different issue.
Right.
So the restaurant is permitted through us.
All parts.
Right, but the slips and moorings are, even though that you have records that they've been inspected, there
right.
is no...
Apparently there is no certificate
no
to operate.
Certificate to
operate. And the matters that entail between the I don't know. I'm not privy to.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you. There may be... I wouldn't leave because there may be further testimony that you need, maybe in the next part of the case.
Okay.
Mr. Compton, do you have any further?
In this portion, I don't know what's going to happen next.
Okay. Is there anyone here from the Suffolk Wetlands Board that wishes to be heard? All right. There being none, the matter is before the commission for determination as to whether the Suffolk, I think due to the different twists and turns this case has, we have to be careful that we don't overly complicate it. The decision is, as I understand, Carl, you correct me if I'm wrong, we're still back to the same requirement that we have under the law of Virginia as a determination is whether the Suffolk Wetlands Board erred in their determination under the established Code of Virginia. Once Mr. Josephson determined that the jurisdiction was not an issue, then we have a ripe case to determine whether they did what they should do under the code or whether they didn't. And that's what's before the commission. Is that correct, Mr. Josephson?
That is correct. And if anybody wants, I can review what the standards are.
I would like you to read that into the record.
Okay, this is from Code Section 28.2-1313, which is in the Wetlands Ordinance. Well, actually, it's not in the Wetlands Ordinance. It's in the Wetlands chapter. It says, the commission shall modify, remand, or reverse the decision of the Wetlands Board if one of two things. And the first thing is, and it's kind of vague, it's general, the Wetlands Board, in reaching its decision, failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance. Now, the second thing is that the substantial rights of the appellant, in this case, have been prejudiced because the findings, conclusions, or decisions of the Wetlands Board violate constitutional provisions, are in excess of statutory authority or jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board, were made upon unlawful procedure, were affected by other error of law, unsupported by the evidence on the record considered as a whole, or arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion.
Those Thank you.
Standards.
Mr. Schick.
Referring to evidence on the record, I'm still confused about the evidence that was presented at the Wetlands Board that shows that there is secondary impacts on the wetlands. I'm not familiar with this area, but I'm just trying to understand how these wet slips here would affect any more than what was there prior to the hurricane.
Mr. Stagg, did you want to comment on that?
I don't know if VIMS had some additional information that they could provide us, I wish Suffolk County was here to give us that information. I know we have the nice little book that came from the hearing, but.
Well, this is the problem with this case, that there was no VIMS report either at the Wetlands Board hearing, and that's in my eval. The city indicated at the time that they believed there was no VIMS report because VIMS didn't deem it necessary because of it was subaqueous. I believe it was really because VIMS still didn't deem the application to be complete. We did eventually get a VIMS report for the subaqueous case, but it was not part of this record that right. The Wetlands Board heard. So they did not have any direct advice from VIMS related to the impacts, period. The impacts, subaqueous or wetland. The discussion really hinged on what staff and I quoted from the ordinance, which I quoted the part Carl did, which is their decision, but part of that is your capability to overturn that. Basically, what I told them, and it's in the eval, was, and the city told them, that they could consider both direct and indirect impacts, and this is right from the zoning ordinance, from the state code, the impact of the project on public health, safety, and welfare, and the testimony of persons in support or opposition to the project, as well as the anticipated public and private benefit of the proposal and whether it exceeded the public and private detriment. So, we get into the whole public trust doctrine issue, which is in the wetlands ordinance as well as the state code for subaqueous. There was testimony from nearby residents directly indicating their belief that there were increased impacts
from the expansion of this facility in total, including the slips, the expanded deck area, the outside seating, and I believe that that's what the Wetlands Board made their decision based upon.
But the Wetlands Board is just, we're just talking about
Mr. Sure.
The floating docks themselves, not the seating or...
Well, let me clarify what they really voted on, so we're all clear, because Mr. Compton wasn't clear either. They did not address this at all.
Right.
They did not address the enclosure of this. They did address this fixed pier.
That part there. Right.
And the floating pier. So this fixed pier, which is where there's a lot of seating, or there was, and an entertainment area, there's a wet bar out here, were all part of testimony of people in opposition. They were part of his request to retain, and they're part of what the Wetlands Board said had to be removed.
And then the floating docks also.
And all of the floating docks. And basically what they authorized was refurbishing this fixed pier, and if it did extend slightly further, I guess, you know, that would include re-extending it slightly here. The fixed piers here that stubbed off the bulkhead, removal of all any of this that was built after Hurricane Isabel.
Right.
This deck area was here, and there was a small deck wraparound area to get back to land, but a lot of this was not part of the fixed. This is the width of the fixed pier that went all the way back to the restaurant about to here. So all of this to the right of that is new since Isabel. That's the area that they said remove all of that, restore it back to what.
So that portion wasn't there prior to Isabel.
No. That's the previous footprint.
Right.
Yeah. Is there a date on this?
Mr. Fox.
This is 2002, which would have been a year or so before Isabel.
One last question, but there was no scientific evidence.
The normal visit report, which would have been the scientific advice they would have received, other than the city of staff, the city did do an eval, but they did not give a real detailed scientific. There was no water quality impact assessment required. This structure was somewhat grandfathered in this facility. It predated the Chesapeake Bay Act, and the city didn't require that. Typically, any expansion of a marina like this would have required on Chesapeake Bay Act, a water quality impact assessment, which I think is what Mr. Compton may be sort of referring to. And they do take some time, and they are expensive.
Right. Okay.
Further questions? Mr. Robbins?
Just a comment, if I can.
Sure.
This is a matter before the board now. For discussion.
Yes, absolutely.
Just a comment. I mean, it seems to me that reviewing the record, the Wetlands Board was largely focused on the discrepancies between the existing project and what was originally permitted, and the fact that this was not authorized by the executive order, and moreover, it was not permitted subsequent to that by the commission. So it lacked a permit. And, you know, as I look through this, I think one of the key questions is whether or not the jurisdictional issue was appropriately delimited by the board in its deliberations. And I think what we just heard from Ben Stagg is basically affirmed here in the written record. There, we don't have page numbers on this record, but just reading through the verbatim, he was questioned about this and essentially testified that they could consider things that we might consider to be secondary impact. Specifically, it says, quote, but the things we are talking about, the increased pier, the increased decking, those certainly have secondary impacts to the wetlands, but they also have impact to public health, safety, and welfare, and you got to weigh whether the benefit of approving this or approving it in modified form for the public and private benefits or outweigh the public and private, which is the same criteria we use, end quote. So I think the board, as it went through its deliberation, did delimit those things that were outside of its jurisdiction in its discussions. In other words, neighbors there offered testimony that they were concerned about increased traffic and things that were essentially extra-jurisdictional, and the board, those things were not, I think those things were appropriately eliminated from the considerations when they made their decision. So it seems to me that it is largely driven, I think, by indirect impacts. Impacts that are considered to be secondary in terms of environmental impacts, but I don't think they considered things that were inappropriate or outside of their jurisdiction in reaching their decision.
Further comment? Mr. Schick, then Mr. Fox.
It's obvious that this facility needs to be, reconstructed, rehabilitated, rehabilitated. A marina in decline is worse for the environment than some of the issues we're talking about here. But unfortunately, when things aren't followed properly, we end up with a mess at the end of the day, which is what we've got here. I'm not necessarily opposed, to what the applicant wants to do, but I think I just see our hands are tied in the fact that I can't see where the Wetlands Board erred in this particular situation, other than it's a shame that they didn't have they didn't delay their ruling until they actually got some information from PHMS, on the secondary impacts, or required the applicant to supply that information prior to them making their decision. I don't know if that's enough for us to remand it back, or if the applicant should just apply for a new permit on a basis where the Wetlands Board might accept it. Mm-hmm. I'm at a loss on that.
Mr. Fox.
I've just noted that the lady dressed in black from the health department is raising her hand. I did not know whether it was appropriate for her to speak or add additional information this time or not.
Come forward. That's okay. Not a problem. I'm sorry I didn't recognize those two folks down there. State your name again, please, for the record.
Alistair Morgan. When Mr. Stagg was speaking last, he made reference to the larger part of the pier, and I can attest that I was the primary health inspector for that facility from July 1996 until December of 2002, and I witnessed Mr. Compton building that expansion to that pier during those dates, so it could not have been constructed post-Isabel because that happened in 2003. I watched him building that.
Which, were you talking about? Which specifically? Can you point it?
That little point thing. God, I can never make these things. You know, the wide part, where is it? We might have to... Yeah, show me the other.
I'm totally confused now.
Where you said that there were... Where he had seating, where he expanded here and had stationary seating, and he does not have stationary seating, because that was a debate, that he could not have stationary seating out there because they have a little bar here, and the deal was they cannot exceed 100 seats. And if he had stationary seating there, he would exceed the 100 seats for that facility, which would not work with his existing septic system. So the only way he could have any kind of temporary seating out there in the summertime is when during the summer he has to not have seating in his bar area over here, and he can put the seats out here. Mrs. Wolford and I actually went there and counted the seats, and he has 92 seats in that facility. So he's not exceeding. But I watched him add that extension on.
Is it the same? Just to make sure, are you sure that's the same extension in its present form that was not destroyed during Isabel and may have been rebuilt? Is that a possibility?
Well, I'm just saying I watched him build the new extension.
Okay.
Yes. It's the one. I watched him do it.
Okay.
Prior Isabel, because I watched it because it was there 96 to 2002.
All right. Well, the previous photo, the one that's mm-hmm. the 2002 photo. The 2002 photo. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know whether that was taken in January 2002 or December 2002, but that expanded deck area doesn't appear in this photograph. Well, sadly, we have foliage in the spring and the fall.
I can't,
but not January.
I can't attest to that photo. I just remember him building that here, and it was before Isabel because I was no longer with that office from December 2002 until 2007. But I remember him building it.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To that point, even if that were constructed prior to Isabel, there's still not in the record a basis of permit history.
That's correct.
For it, or permit authorization.
So,
Mr. Fox.
So, in that regard, if it were built before Isabel, it was built without a permit.
Well, I understand it.
Okay. And if it was replaced after Isabel, and if it was replaced after Isabel, it again was replaced without a permit because he did not file the two-page permit.
Mr. Stagg, respond, please.
Again, I would say the Wetland Board's decision was based on the fact that they believed, and it was not contested at any point during the hearing, that this fixed part of this deck was built prior to Isabel. Their decision, while it did say anything that was installed after Isabel, they were basing that decision on this fixed deck having been installed at or near the same time as the floating pier. So, I mean, that was the basis of their decision. They had no knowledge that it might have existed prior. And if it was built before Isabel, it was between his photograph and when Isabel.
Right.
So
I understand that.
Matters before the Commission for determination whether the Suffolk Wetlands Board erred in their decision-making process. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the first questions I asked was whether or not we might look at a reconfiguration of this marina with some sort of floating docks, given the fact that the applicant has already obviously invested in floating docks. And I'd like to think that we could somehow accommodate that. And yet, what's before us right now is this, specifically this appeal and the question of whether or not the Wetlands Board erred. And as a matter of law and looking at the record, I think there was a reasonable record basis for their decision. I think it's reasonably supported by the evidence. I don't see any errors in their decision, and I would offer a motion to uphold the Suffolk Wetlands Board.
Is there a second?
So moved.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The Suffolk Wetlands Board decision is upheld.